Begin the current Daf Masechet Pesachim, Daf Tzadik Gimel. Begin 6 lines down from the top of the Yamed. The Gemara continues the discussion of the previous Daf. And that's we began this Perek Mishahoya, which speaks about someone that was Tamei B'derech Rechayka, someone that was not allowed to do, wasn't available to do the Pesach Rishon. And that Daloch is, he does it by Pesach Sheni. On Yud Dalet Iyar, he makes up a month later, that's when he brings the Korban Pesach. So our Gemara continues with a Braisa that discusses those individuals that are included in this group, that if they didn't do it by the first one, they do it by the second one. So turn up and learn the Braisa. Elu sho'esin sasheni. These are the individuals that do it and they bring it by the second Pesach on the 14th of the year. Hazavin v'hazavis, both the male and the female, those that have the tumas of ziba coming out of them. Hamitzaron v'hamitzaros, again, the male and the female, those that have this tzaras on their body. V'nidais u'boyle nidis, the woman that's a nida, and those that are intimate with a woman that's a nida, who have the same tumah. V'hayoldos, and the woman that gave birth, that all these that we just discussed are those that they have what's called tumah arucha. They have long tumah, which is for a period of 7 days or 8 days, and they're tumah for that entire time, and therefore they could not, when it was Erev Pesach, in their status of tumah, bring it, because they weren't even going to be tar that night, like someone that's tumah, like a sheretz for 1 day. So therefore, these individuals get pushed off to the second Pesach. Hashegigin, those that erred, they made a mistake. Va'anusin, and those that, against their will, they were coerced that they couldn't bring it over Hamazidin, even those that were deliberate. Betame, and someone that was tame lenefesh, that he became tame from touching a corpse. Veshehei b'derech rechayka, and someone that was in the faraway, on the faraway road. Regarding to all these people, the halach is that they bring it by the Pesach Sheni. Now, and that's, the question is, in Cain, if all these individuals go ahead and they can bring up a Pesach Sheni, so lama nemar tame? Why is the Torah single out someone that was tame? It's just like all these that didn't bring it by the first one. Mezid, there's all these different individuals, oynis. So why do we specify tame if what's more different than in all these other cases? They're all included in this halacha. And that the Gemara retorts, Lama Nema, you're going to really ask me why do we single out that Tamei brings it by the second Pesach? What do you mean? That's telling me the other Chiddush, not that you could bring it by the Pesach Sheni. That I know, like all these other cases. But rather, the Ibayi Lemevid Barishan, rather, but that if you would want to do it by the first one, Loishav Kinyale, that we don't allow him. In other words, all these other ones that they couldn't go ahead and bring it, either he didn't want to, he was forced, he made a mistake. So we say he could make up for it. But if he would push himself, or if he would have been in a certain circumstance, he would be able to do it. Tamei, we say in the Torah, not that you could do it on the Pesach Sheni, because no different than the other ones, but you need it to say that you're not allowed to in your state of Tamei have it brought. So therefore, the Gemara says, El im kein lama nemeb derech rechayka. The question is, why does it say the case of being on a faraway road? And that is, if it's to tell you that, because just the same thing that it says by Tamei, that you cannot bring it by the first one, that wouldn't make sense because he's anyways very far away. He can't bring it anyway. So what would be the intention of saying the halach of derech rechayka in the pasuk if it's no different than all the other ones that you could bring it by the Pesach Sheni? And you can't give the same teretz you gave why you say tamei, which is to say you're not allowed to bring it by the first one because he's not here anyways to bring it even if he wanted to. So on that, the Gemara answers, lefoitri min hakaris. It's to exempt him from the punishment of karis, and that is, although he could have technically had a shliach do it for him, he's still going to be exempt from karis because he's very far away. Now, and if you're going to say that maybe the reason why the Torah wrote derech rechayka is that, no, like we had asked before, that you're not allowed to bring your korban pesach if you're far away. Like Rav Sheisha says, as this was machlekes on the previous daf, regarding if someone is b'derech rechayka, he's far away. And however, he finds a way, he sends a messenger to go ahead and bring it for him. And that way, the machlekes, if it's hortza or not, do we say that Torah just doesn't require it from him, but if he goes ahead and finds a way, then it's tavi lav bracha? Or that no, the Torah saying, you're just like Tamei, you're far away, you can't bring it yourself, you're not allowed to bring it. So that the Gemara asks, so then say like Rav Sheshes, who said that maybe that's what it says, derech rechayka, to tell you that he's not allowed to. That the Gemara says, obviously the time of this price is, ukamanda mahurtz is going like Rav Nachman's opinion, that he held that no, that if he would bring it, it would be considered fulfilled of the chiyuv, and he wouldn't have to bring a Pesach Sheni. And the truth is, you're right, that if it would be going like Rav Sheshes, then you would need derech rechayka to tell you that if you wanted, you would not be able to bring it And then there wouldn't be any question why it says Derech HaChayka, just like it says Tamei, to say he can't, even if he wants to bring it on the Pesach Rishon, not to tell you that he could do it on the Pesach Sheni, because that's no different than all these other cases that we mentioned in the Braisa. But rather, the Chiddush of Derech HaChayka also is not to say that you could bring it Pesach Sheni, but that you cannot bring it Pesach Rishon. And so therefore, obviously, this Braisa that doesn't say it like that and says that Derech HaChayka is teaching you that he's going to be exempt from Karis is like Rav Nachman. And that is that, yes, if you would push yourself, you could. Then what is Derech HaChayka? It's to say that he's going to be exempt from Karis, even if he doesn't bring it. So now the Gemara asks on this Braisa. Isha b'sheni mi mechayva? Is it true that this Braisa was telling us regarding those that are chayv in Pesach Sheni? Is a woman chayv in Pesach Sheni? Because some of those cases were nidais, yoldais, mitzirais. These were women that we said that they weren't able to bring in Pesach Rishon. We say that they're chayv to bring in Pesach Sheni. Is that really true? But Tanya will learn the Braisa that says, Yochela you oisnes Hasheni. You would think that the only ones that are allowed to bring Pesach Sheni are Elotamei Nefesh, Veshahayu B'derech HaChayka, only those two that are written in Torah. Someone that became impure from touching a corpse, and it was very far away. Zavinu Mitzirah, Boyele Nidus Minan. How do you know that the same thing would apply for other Tumas? For example, someone that that's a Zav and that he's a Mitzirah, or he was intimate with a Nida, that they have a Lacha of these long Tumas too, that they're also, since they can't do it in Pesach Rishon, that they could do it in Pesach Sheni. Tam Alema, that's the Pasuk teaches you in Bamidbar. Ish says every man, which comes to include these Tumas Osa, not just someone that's Tummy and that was Bederech HaChayka. Now the question is, you see that this Braisa quotes Ish that talks about only the male version, Zavin, Mitzaron, Baile Nidus. Doesn't say Nida, doesn't say a Zava, doesn't say Mitzaraas. And therefore, that seems to contradict. What is the halacha for women in Pesach Sheni? Are they mechuyev or not? Now the Gemara says loy kash, it's not a contradiction because these two different braises are actually two different opinions that we already know. Ha, the first braise that said that women are mechuyev in Pesach Sheni. That's why it said the female version too. That's Reb Yosi, as we had learned on the previous stuff on Tzadi Alvam Abayz, that he holds that women are mechuyev in the Pesach Sheni. You could even bring them their own carbon Pesach on Pesach Sheni. And that's why he includes them in the category of the first braisa of women also in Pesach Sheni. However, the second braisa says that women not is Rabbi Yehuda Reb Shimon, that they hold, as it's quoted over there, that women are rishus in Pesach Sheni. Therefore, they're not mechuyev, and that's why they're not included in Pesach Sheni to be able to bring their own carbon. So that explains the two different braises. If the women are included in the Pesach Sheni, that's like Rabbi Yehuda, and if not, that's like Rabbi Yehuda Reb Shimon. So the Gemara says, Tarabon, the Gemara quotes a Braisa regarding this topic of Pesach Sheni, and it quotes a Machlekes. The Braisa first says, Chayev Karis Al Harishon. If you don't bring the Pesach as it's written in the Torah, you get Karis if you don't bring it on Yud Dal Nisan. And so too, Chayev Karis Al Harishon, and you're also going to be Chayev Karis if you don't bring Pesach Sheni. Divi Rebbe, that's the opinion of Rebbe. Now, as Rashi explains, what Rebbe's saying is that there would be a Chayev Karis on either one, Pesach Rishon or Pesach Sheni. Now, it obviously can't not be talking about one person that he gets Misa Karis for missing both Pesach Rishon and Pesach Sheni, because you can't kill one person two times. So therefore, that there would be no point in saying that if he missed the first Pesach and he gets Karis, and he missed the second one, he gets Karis, you can't already Karis someone that's already getting Karis. Now, if it's regarding that, let's say he's a Shogig on both of them, where generally for a Chiv Karis, when you're a Shogig, when you did it by mistake, then you get a Chiv Chatas, so maybe that's what it would be saying, that for each one it's Karis, and therefore by mistake you're going to have to bring on each one a Chatas, and that Rashi says that also you can't say. Because regarding the Karis of Pesach, there on its Shogig you would not be Chayv Chatas. As Rashi brings a Mishnah Masechtas Krisis in the beginning, first Mishnah that says that the Karban Pesach and Mila, that they are mitzvahs asays, although that they're Karis, there is no Chatas regarding that Shkaga, because the shkaga of a karis that brings a chatas is only on a negative prohibition. Because although here this karis, Mila and Pesach are the two exceptions that this karis when you don't commit a positive commandment. But since the pasuk in Vayikra Perek Dal says, Asher lo yiseh asenam, that you get the punishment of chatas for something that you did not do, in other words, that should not be done, and you did it, which is a violating a negative prohibition, therefore, it cannot be teaching you for the chiyuv chatas, because there is no chiyuv chatas on violating the karis of Karban Pesach. So rather, Rashi says, two pshatim. Either it's talking about that you were shogig by one of them, and the other one you were mazed, you were intentional, you were deliberate. So therefore, either one is what we're saying. Either the first one or the second one, either one will go ahead and make you liable for karis. Or it's talking about, for example, if a person became a convert between the two Pesachs, between Yudal Nisan and Yudal Ir, which that's what his chiddush is. It's not only that there's karas by the first one, and even if you weren't there by the first one, let's say you weren't Jewish then, but by the time the second one you are, even for that one, you're going to be liable for karas. That's the first opinion in the Braisa. Second opinion, Reb Nassanam, he says, Chayav karas ala rishon. I agree to you that you chayav karas for the first one. However, upatar ala sheni, you're exempt from karas on the second Pesach. And that is, if let's say the first Pesach you were a shogeg, so you didn't get karas yet, but the second Pesach already, by the time it came out, you would deliberately say, you know what, I'm not going to bring it. You're going to be exempt from karas because it's only on the first one you get karas, not the second one. And the third opinion, the Braisa, Reb Chananya ben Akavya, I mean, he says, af ala rishon, that even regarding the first Pesach, even if you were deliberate, which makes you liable for karas, you're ain't a chayv karas, you're not going to be liable for karas, ela im kain, only on the condition that lo yoseh sheni, that you also did not do the second one. In other words, until you're deliberate, you're amazed, not only by the first one, you have to be deliberate by the second one too. But if let's say you brought the Pesach sheni, even though you were deliberate and did not bring the first one, or even if you were just a shogeg by the second one, so deliberately the first one you didn't, say, you know what, I got to make up for it, I got to bring the Pesach sheni, and you erred and you did not bring it, you're going to be totally exempt. And that's for two reasons, as the Gemara will elaborate shortly. That his opinion is that Pesach Sheni is both the tashlumen of the first one, it completes it, and it's also takanta the rishon. It also correctifies it, it can make up for it. And therefore, the mezid of the first Pesach is not complete to be liable for its karas, unless if you went ahead and you were mezid in the second one. And therefore, if either one of them you were shogeg, you're not a complete mezid, and therefore you're going to be exempt from karas. Now the Gemara explains, V'azul tamayu, and they go according to their opinions, Rebbe and Rebbe Nassan, the time like we learn the Braisa. Braisa says, Gershin is gair ben shnei pesachim, regarding a person that became a convert between that month of Yudal Nisan and Yudal Ir. And V'chein, similarly, is a katan shehigdal ben shnei pesachim, regarding a minor, a child, that became an adult in Jewish law, which is when he sprouts two pubic hairs. Then he became that between the two Pesachs. So Chayiv lasas Pesach Sheni divrei Rebbe. Rebbe holds that although he wasn't even obligated by the first Pesach, but by the time the second one rolls around, he is obligated because he either became a gadol or he became Jewish, he has to bring the second Pesach. Reb Nassanam, he says, no. Kol shezakek l'rishon, whoever is obligated in the first Pesach, zakek l'sheni, then if he didn't bring the first one, then he's obligated in the second one. But kol she'ena zakek l'rishon, whoever is not obligated in the first one because he was a minor or because he wasn't even Jewish, then ein zakek l'sheni, then he's not obligated in the second one. As the Gemara explains, but my commitment, what is the understanding? What are they arguing about? Rebbe Sava, Rebbe holds, sheni regel b'fnei atzmehu. The second Pesach essentially is its own yomtiv, and therefore it has its own obligation. And even if someone wasn't even fit for the first Pesach, because he wasn't even obligated, he was a minor, or because he wasn't even Jewish, still it's going to be now a Yom Tov that he's Jewish now, Pesach Sheni. You didn't bring the first one, and although you weren't obligated, but there's this own Yom Tov. So for those that didn't bring it, and that's including this person that became a gadol or became a convert, you got to go ahead and bring it now. And that's the reason why he said that you're going to be Chayiv Karas, even only for the Pesach Sheni. So even if, let's say, you were a shogeg on the first one, and therefore there's no karas for that, but by the second one you amaze it, you're going to be chayv karas, because it's its own yomtiv, it's its own chiv. Reb Nassan Sabar, he holds, no, sheni tashlum in the rishon hu. What the second one is that it completes the first one. And therefore, if someone wasn't obligated in the first Pesach, he's not chayv in the second one, because what the second one only does is it completes the first one. And therefore, regarding a minor, he's not going to be obligated in the second one because it's only a completion of the first one. However, takuni l'rishon, to fix up the first one, to rectify, let's say if a person was amazed on the first one and he's chayv in karas, that loy maskinle, that it doesn't do. Although it's completing the first one, it can't make up for it. So if you're already amazed on the first one, therefore that chayv karas you're going to get even if you did the Pesach Sheni. Now, and that is what he holds like Rebbe. However, regarding the Karban Pesach Sheni itself, on that he holds that the person will be exempt over there, not like Rebbe. And that is, if let's say someone was a shogeg by the first one, but he was amazed by the second one, he holds that there is no, it's not its own yomtiv, it doesn't have its own obligation, it's completing the first one. And therefore, it's like the first one is long, like it goes through the first and the second. And therefore, since the first one, which is the primary one, he was a shogeg, although he's mazed, it's like being mazed on the second half of the first one, which you weren't totally mazed because half was shogeg. Therefore, you're going to be exempt. However, the first one, if you were mazed, yes, he agrees to Rebbe that that's the primary one. And therefore, the second one, although it completes it, that's not going to be able to be misakin and undo the mazed. But again, what he does argue about is regarding if you were shogi by the first one and you were mazed by the second one, which again, the second one's not primary, it's just completing the first one, he will not be chayiv in kars. Reb Chananya ben Akiva Sava, the third opinion he holds, that sheni tekanta the rishon, who not only does the second one complete the first one, it actually could rectify the first one. And that's why his opinion was mentioned before, that until you're amazed by both of them, you're not going to be chayiv. Because if you're amazed by the first one, you can still make up for it, so to speak, and undo the bad that you did, which was amazed, and bring it by the second one. And that would be the same thing even regarding not being amazed by the second one, because it is the new one. It's the new version. Okay, you didn't do well, let's give you another chance. It could be misakin it. So therefore, and if you were shogi by the first one, most definitely you're not going to be chayiv if you're amazed by the second one, because that's just helping you by the first one, but the first one already weren't chayiv karas. So therefore he holds you're only going to be chayiv karas unless if you're amazed both by the first and by the second. So now the Gemara says, v'shlosh mikra echadarshu, interestingly enough, this machloik is actually the older nedar from the same pasuk, which are pasuk about midbar, that says, v'he'ish ashehutar, that the person that was pure, u'b'derech lohaya, he wasn't far away, so he didn't have the excuses, so to speak, of not bringing the Pesach in the first time. So there the pasuk in Bamidbar, Perek Tes, Pasuk Yigimel, concludes by saying, b'chodol lasis ha-Pesach, and still yet, he refrained from bringing the Karban Pesach. V'nichrasa ha-nefesh ha-hima-amer, and that person gets cut off, he gets karas from his people. Ki Karban Hashem lo hikriv b'mayadik, because the Karban of Hashem he didn't bring in its designated time. Cheto yiso ha-ishahu, that man will carry his sin, and that's the punishment of karas that a person gets for not bringing his Karban Pesach when it's supposed to be brought. So the Gemara explains how they all three opinions learn out from this pasuk. Rabbi Saba, he holds, when the pasuk then continues, b'chodol lasis ha-pesach, that he refrained from being the Karban Pesach, v'nichrasa, and he gets cut off, that's delay of Barishan, because he didn't bring it by the first Pesach. But now the pasuk continues, inami, or also, which is when the pasuk says ki, that means or also, because or Karban Hashem lehikrav b'mayadu, and that or if the, he doesn't bring the Karban Hashem of, in his designated time. What's this talking about? What do you mean if? He already didn't. That's b'sheni. That's a reference to the second Pesach. As Rashi explains, the word ki in the Torah has four definitions. And one of them is not as commonly used as because, but rather as if, as the word im, e. And it's not going back on the previous part of the pasuk as explaining the reason for it as because, which that's how it normally be translated, and he didn't bring his Karban Pesach, and he gets karas. Now, why does he get karas? Because Karban Hashem, he didn't bring in this designated time, so he gets his sin. No, key here is if. What's if? What he already didn't bring. Oh, if he doesn't bring when? The second Pesach. Oh, then he gets his karas. Now, the Gemara asks, Umimai daha cheto yisa karasu. Now, fine. So the second half of the pasuk, you're saying im if is like that's something in the future that's regarding the second Pesach, that you see that there it gets its own punishment of what you're trying to say of karas. Where do you see from the terminology, v'nichrasa only says in the first half of the pasuk, talking about Pesach Rishon, how do you see carrying one's sin is a reference to the punishment of karas? That the Gemara continues, Amid Beis, because Ksavar Rebbe holds Megadif, a blasphemer, which is someone that talks not properly towards God, towards Hashem, where in the parasha of Megadif, it says that there's a punishment of Karas, he holds Hainim of Arch Hashem. That is the same thing with when the Torah mentions blessing, quote-unquote, Hashem, which really is a reference to the opposite of not talking properly to Hashem. Now, since this Megadif, again, is Mevarach Hashem, so that means Mevarach Hashem has a punishment of Karas. So now we learn out Pesach Sheni, which is what we're saying is the second half of the Pasuk of Chet Yisa, we learn that from Mevarach Has Hashem, because Uksiv Mevarach Has Hashem, it says a Pasuk in Vayikra, in the parasha of Mevarach Hashem, of, quote, blessing Hashem, says, V'nosa Chetoi, that he carries his sin. Now, V'gomer Hai Chetoi Dahacha, we learn out where it says over here, carrying sin by us, where it says when he was Chodel Asa Pesach, and as we said, the end of the pasuk is a reference to Pesach Sheni, and it says v'nasa chete. We learn that mechete dehasam over there by mevarachas Hashem. It also says the terminology of nasa chet. So we learn gzeres shava mala halankara is just like over there by mevarach Hashem. Since Rebbe says that's the same thing, that's a megadiv who gets karas afkana mekara. So here it says the same terminology of nasa chete of carrying sin. There must be that you get the punishment of karas, and that's because again because since he learns that it's key as is. If, which is Pesach Sheni, so you see Pesach Sheni gets its own karas. Rav Nosson Sava, however, he holds, he learns the pasuk v'chad the last is a pesach, that if a person refrains from being the karm pesach, the nechris and the gets karis. Now he explains the high key loshen dahahu. No, he says ki as it's usually translated as because. It's telling you the reason now. This is what the Torah is telling you. Why do you get karis? The ha-karban Hashem lehikiv b'meyadei berishin. Because the carbon of Hashem you didn't bring in this proper time. What's that a reference to? That's a reference to the first carbon Pesach. And it's going back on the first half of the Pasuk to give a reason for it. Why do you get the nichras in the first one? Because carbon Hashem lehikiv b'meyadei of the first Pesach. There is no reference over here to Pesach Sheni. But then the question is, hai chet yisim mayavalei. So then what do you do with it, that it says that he will carry his sin? In other words, according to the first version, that of Rabbi, it says that we should learn the Gzeirah Shavah from Mevarach HaSashem to tell you that just like over there is Karas, here also is Karas, because it's a reference to Pesach Sheni. But if it's just explained the first half of the Pasuk, it already says V'nichras. Why do we need to say Yisachet, that he's going to carry his Chet, if we already know he's getting Karas? And we don't have to learn it from Mevarach HaSashem. So on that Ksavar, that Reb Nosson learns, Megadav Lav Hain Mevarach Hashem. He doesn't learn like Rabbi. He doesn't hold that this, quote, blessing Hashem is the Megadav, is the blasphemer. Rather, he learns, like the Gemara brings in Masechtas Krisis, as others say, that the Mevarach Hashem is someone that sings songs to the idols, to the Avodah Zarah, and therefore, he doesn't have a source to tell you that this Mevarach, who we're saying is singing to Avodah Zarah, has Karas, because it's not the same as Megadav. The only way we would know is if it's Megadav, who thereby Megadav says Karas. And the only way we would know that Mevarach Hashem has Karas is actually learning from us, the exact reverse of what Rebbe said. V'gamar ha'ichet de'hasam. The reason why it says over here carrying chet by the Karm Pesach is to be able to learn the Gzeir Shava that Mevarach Hashem should learn from me'ha'ichet de'hacha. From here where it says carrying sin over here by Pesach Rishon, to tell you, ma'hacha Karas, just like over here it's Karas because it's Toma Pesach Rishon, which the first half of the Pasuk already says v'nichras, af'hasam Karas is teaching that there also there's going to be a punishment by Mevarach Hashem, which again does not mean Megadav, is also going to get Karas. And finally, the third opinion of Reb Chanan ben Yaakov Yisavar, he holds, he learns the word ki, like Rebbe did, that it means e, meaning if, not like Reb Nosson that it means because. However, he holds that it's not saying something else. Rather, he learns that what it's coming to say is that the first chorus that the Pasuk mentions, meaning regarding the Karban Pesach of the Rishon, which in other words, that the first half of the Pasuk depends on im, the key means if, it depends on the Pesach Sheni, that is, the nichras that a person gets, if he's mazed by the first one, will be im karban Hashem lo yakev b'sheni, that if he won't bring his karban, when? By the second one, as he explains, v'chad lasas ha-pesach v'nichrasa, and then a person refrains from bringing the karban Pesach on the first Pesach, on Yudal Nisan, and v'nichrasa gets karas. That's ki karban Hashem, that means e karban Hashem lo hikrev b'me'ad b'sheni, and that is when do you get the karas by the first one? If the second one you also don't bring, that's as we explained before, because he holds that it's not only complete but it's mesakin. So yes, you're getting karas for this mazid, only if you don't make up for it by the second one. If that also mazid, then you're done. But that's the point, that it's if, yes, but not its own separate one if, but rather it's saying that you have to also be mazid on this one, and then you'll get your karas of the first one. Then the Gemara asks, like it asked before, v'hai chete yisa may avilei, so then what does he do with the term chete yisa? Not to say that you get karas to learn off from Mevarach Hashem, because we already know you're getting karas. You're getting your original karas the first time. It's just you only get it if you're also mezah by the second time. So on that the Gemara says, kedamar, like we answered before, that it's coming to teach you, like what we said for Reb Nosson, that it's coming to teach you karas to the Mevarach Hashem. We know you're getting karas here, but we wouldn't know Mevarach Hashem, because Mevarach Hashem is not Megadav, rather singing Tavod Dezara. That you learn from us, and that's why it says over here, carrying one sin. So the Gemara summarizes the halacha based on these three different opinions. Hilkach, therefore, hezid bezeh bezeh, if someone was deliberate, he didn't bring the Pesach Rishon, and he didn't care to bring the Pesach Sheni, divrei hakol chayv, everyone would agree that you're going to get one karas, for either one, but ultimately it's going to be a karas. Shagag bezeh bezeh, let's say you were inadvertent by both, divrei hakol pot, everyone would agree you're exempt, because you weren't mazed on either one of them. However, hezid berishon v'shagag b'sheni, if let's say he was deliberate by the first one, but by mistake he didn't bring the second one. So then L'Rebbe will Reb Nosson, according to both of them, that they don't hold that the second one could undo the first one. It might complete it, but it might not be its own yomtiv, but it's not making up for that. So they hold mechayvi. You're going to be chayv because ultimately the first one you're amazed. Reb Chanan ben Yaakov, your potter is going to hold that you're potter because ultimately you were shugging in the second one. And it's only if you're amazed in both of them according to him. Shagag b'rishon v'hezid b'sheni. Let's say the first one you were shugging, but you were delivered by the second one. So the Rebbe Chayv, according to Rebbe, going to be Chayv. And that's because he holds that the second one has its own cars because it's its own Chayv, it's its own Yomtiv. The Rebbe Nosson, Rebbe Chanan, Ben Akavi, Apart, according to them, you're going to be exempt because there is no cars that's mentioned only on the first one. And on that you were Shagging, and therefore they hold you're going to be exempt. Now the Gemara continues with the next Mishnah, elaborating on the halacha of the previous Mishnah regarding the exemption of Tamei and Derech HaChayka, who then bring it by Pesach Sheni. So the Mishnah asks, Ezuhi Derech HaChayka, what is considered on a faraway road to say that he's exempt from Karis and that he brings a Pesach Sheni? So now we have Machlokes. First opinion says, Min HaModiyim, from the name of this city called Modiyim, Ulachutz, from there and further outward, is already considered far. Ukmidas L'charuach, and that measurement of how far that is from the Beis HaMikdash in that direction is in all directions is considered Derech HaChayka. Div Rebbe Kiva, that's opinion Rebbe Kiva. Rebbe Lazam, he says, Me'iskupas ha'azar ulachutz, from the threshold of the courtyard of the Beis HaMikdash and outward, is already Derech HaChayka, and you're already considered Patur from Karas, and you can bring in Pesach Sheni. So Amalei Rebbe Yisi said regarding this, that Lefikach Nakud Al-Hei. That's why there's a dot in the Sefer Torah on the letter Hey of the word Rechayka. And as Rashi explains, whenever there's a dot on a letter in the Torah, it's coming to say as if that word's not there. So on some level, we're trying to say that as if the word Rechayka, just by being on the Derech, is really already going to exempt you. And that is because, to tell you, not because it's really so far, already just from the threshold of the courtyard and outward, is already considered Derech HaChayka, and that's why there's a dot on top to say, as if the word's not here, it doesn't have to be really that far, it's just from right outside the Beis HaMikdash. Now the Gemara explains, Amar Ula, Min HaModiyim LeYerushalayim. We said in the Mishnah that what's called Derech HaChayka far away is from Modiyim and outward. So he says that from Modiyim to Yerushalayim is Chamisha Asim Mil Nhabit. It was 15 mil. So essentially, a person, if he's at least 15 mil away, is going to be considered a Derech HaChayka and Potter from the Pesach Rishon and Chayiv and Pesach Sheni. So the Gemara explains, Savala, obviously Ula holds, Ki Hada Amar Rabba Barachan Amar Rabbi Yechanan, that he says, Kama Mahalach Adam, how much does a regular person walk B'yayim on a regular type of day? Now what does regular day mean? So as Rashi explains, it means to say that sometimes days get longer, some days get shorter. So the median of that would be the equinox, the tkufa of Nisan and Tishrei, when the night and days are equal. In other words, like 6 a.m. to 6 p.m., an exact day of night and day. So on such a length of a day, which would be, quote, a regular day on, with a regular person, how far can he walk, is asara parsois. That's 10 parsa, which are 40 mil. That's because for every parsa, there's 4 mil. So a person walks 40 mil. So the Gemara explains the cheshbon, that will explain how Ula knows that for the time span of the halach of Derech HaChayka is going to be 15 mil, and therefore from the area of Modiyin and further. Me'aloysa shachar, from the light of dawn, which is when the sun has not yet risen, but the light of the sun is already coming out. You see it already. Vad hanetzachama, and up until the sun actually rises, is chameshes milin, is the amount of it takes for 5 mil, and that's how long it takes for the sun to come out of the space of the rikia of the firmament, and it takes an area. It takes 5 mil. And relating to that, that's in the morning time. At nighttime is the same thing, same phenomenon, Mishkiya Sachama, from when the sun sets, but Va'atzeza Kachavim, until it's totally night, when the stars actually come out, which is when the sun's totally, its rays totally disappear, is Chameshes Milin, is also 5 mil, and that is, again, it takes time from when the sun is settling until total nighttime is 5 mil. So, therefore, you have 5 before the sun comes out, and 5 after it goes down, Pashu Lahat Plasin, so you're left with 30 mil from nets, from the actual sunrise until Shkia, until the sun sets. Because you have 40 in the whole day, but day is from Aloysa Shachar up until Tzeis HaKachavim, but for the purposes that we're discussing over here, from Netzachama until Shkia, sunrise to sunset is only 30 mil, because 5 in the morning and 5 at night is taken away. Now, Chameser Mitzarfu L'Palga D'Yamah, that means there's 15 from the morning up until noon, and V'Chameser Mipalga D'Yamah L'Urta, and 15 from noon up until evening. And that means, what does it mean? Evening means Shkia Sechama. And the reason is because since the time of slaughtering Karbanis and the Dam of Kodshim is only up until Shkia Sechama, because after the sun sets, the Dam becomes Pasul, as the Gemara explains the Perek Ezer Mekayman in Masechta Zvachim. So therefore, we see that from noontime, which is the time that you can start bringing the Korban Pesach, when the Chiyuv starts and the clock starts ticking, up until Shkia, which is up until when you could do the Shechita, how long is that? That's 15 mil. So if I'm so far, which is from Odiyin and outward, which takes 15 mil, that means I'm too far to get her in time. As the Gemara says, Ula Tameh. Ula goes according to his opinion. The Amar Ula that he says, Ezehu Derech HaChayka, what's considered, quote, a far-off road, Kol She'en Yoch Likanis B'Shah Shechita. If I can't get there in the time for the slaughtering, then I'm already considered far. Now, how long is that? Well, it only starts from noon, goes up until sunset, which is Shkia. That is 30 from Netz till Shkia. That means 15 from noon till Shkia. That's 15 mil. That's the area of Modiin. That's what he says, that from Modiin and outward is going to be, as we said in the Mishnah, is going to be considered Derech HaChayka, because that is the area of 15 mil. So Amamad, the Gemara quotes now what was introduced to explain Ula's halacha. We quoted the following halacha from Rabbi Yechonah. He said, "Ma'alois ha'shachar ad anetzachama, from the rise of dawn up until the rising of the sun is chameshes mil, is 5 mil." The Gemara asks, "Manola, where do we know this halacha from?" So the chesiv, like it says, the pasuk in Bereishis says, "Kamoi ha'shachar ala," like when the dawn was rising, "vayitzu ha'malachim v'goyim," and then the angels were hurrying, and this is in the story of the overturning Sodom. Then it says, "Uksiv." It says later on, "Hashemesh yatzal al-arz," that the sun finally was rising over the land. "V'loit botzayra," and light was coming to tzayr. So we see that Sodom, when they were going to overturn Sodom, was by alois hashachar, shachar Allah, and when they got to tzayr was when it was netzachama, which was when Hashemesh yatzal al-arz. So v'amr b'chanina ledidichaz liahu asha. I saw that area from Sodom up until Tzair, v'havi chameshes mil, and it was an area of 5 mil. That is where we know the halacha from, that from alois hashachar up until Netz, which was the time of going from Sodom to Tzair, is 5 mil. So Gufa, now the Gemara quotes something else that was mentioned before. Amar Ula, Ula said that we said Ula's lishitas, right? Ezehu derech hachayku, what is considered a far off road? Kol she'en yoch likanes p'shah shechita, if you can't get there in time for the slaughtering, that's already considered that you're derech hachayku. However, there is a machlekes. Rabbi Yehuda Mehi says, "Kol she'en yochel likanes b'shas achila." If you can't get there in time for the eating, which means the entire time that it can be eaten, which is you're so far from noontime on Erev Pesach that if you would walk the entire time, you wouldn't be able to get there even for the entire night. Which is Rashi says that's really telling you in the machlekes, which is how long can you eat the Korban Pesach. There is an opinion of Rabbi Kiva that the mitzvah is the entire night. It's only midrabanan that they said you could only eat up until chatzos. And therefore, according to Rabbi Kiva, the entire night would be the go into the halacha about derech hachayka. Whereas according to Rabbi Lazar, the minhag Torah, it's only up until chatzos. And therefore, according to him, as long as you get there up until chatzos, but however, both opinions, either way, it's the time of achila, that's the criteria, not like Ula had said, for the time of shechit. So relating to this machlag, is only Rabbi Ula. Rabbi said to Ula, "Ladidach kasha," according to your opinion, it's difficult. "Rabbi Yehuda kasha," according to the opinion of Rabbi Yehuda, that he says that you have to get to the time of achila, it's also difficult. As he explains, "Lididach kasha," according to you, it's difficult. "The amr that you said, kol she'en yoch likanes b'shah shechita," if he can't get there in time for the slaughtering, that means he's already considered in a far-off road. Now that's difficult, because of atmei sheretz, regarding someone that's impure from his sheretz, "de'en yoch likanes b'shah shechita," where he cannot enter into that zara for the shechita, because he's tamei. And yet, ukamid, you yourself said in Avtzadi Amid Beis, "Sheikh de Mizurk and Altame Sheretz," we could slaughter and we could throw the blood for someone that's tummy with a sheretz, because he's going to be fit for eating in the nighttime. But either way, he can't come into the area, he can't make a deer for the Shechita. Now, why is that any different from the halacha that you said regarding Derech HaChayka, that he can't make a deer for Shechita, but he can make a deer for the eating, and yet still you're excluding him, and here yet by tummy you're not excluding him? Well, Rabbi Yehuda Kasha, Kondra Yehuda, is also difficult for the reverse reason. The Amar, because he says, "Kol she'en yoch likanes b'shas achila," that if someone can't get there in time for the eating, then he's going to be considered exempt and not chayiv in the Korban Pesach. But if he could get there for the eating, even if he can't get there for the shechita, he's going to be chayiv. Yet, v'tmei sheretz, the yoch likanes b'shas achila, regarding someone that's tamei with the sheretz, who, yes, he can't get there for the shechita because he's tamei, but he'll be tahar by the time sundown is, which is time to eat the Korban Pesach. For coming yet, he says, "Ein sheikh nevezerken v'tmei sheretz." His opinion is the reverse of yours, and he holds that he cannot slaughter and throw the blood for someone that's tamei sheretz. Why? It should be just like Derech HaChayka, where although he can't be there for the Shechita, but he can be there for the Achila, and we consider him fit, and he can bring the Korban Pesach, so too for someone that's Tamei Sheretz. So Amalei Se'ula responded to Rabbi, says, "No. Not difficult on either our opinions. And he explains, according to my opinion, it's not difficult. And that is, although you had a good question, that regarding someone that's on the derech rechayka, I said he's exempt if even if he's going to be fit for the evening, but if he's not going to be fit for the shechita, he's going to be exempt. And yet, in spite of that, I said that someone that's tmei sheretz, who's not fit for the shechita, but is fit for the eating, would be chayiv. That's for a different reason. And that's because derech rechayka, the exemption of being far away, is only letahar. It's only for someone that's tahar. What that means is that regarding someone that's far away, the Torah said that was an exemption for someone that's tahar. He's tahar, but he's very far away. And that what that means is that he can't get there in time for the shechita. And how do I know that? Because the pasuk there uses the terminology of asiyah, of doing. It says, la'aseis ha-pesach. He can't get there in time to do the korban pesach. What do I mean to do it? It means to bring it, which is the time of the shechita. Now, although he could come in time for the eating, still the Torah says, derech rechayka, you can't come in time for the shechita. You're exempt from that. However, ve'ein derech rechayka l'tamei, there's no quote concept of derech rechayka for someone that's tamei. And that is regarding the exemption of tamei, the Torah didn't make his exemption dependent on being far away, that he can't get here in time for the shechita, rather in his status of tumah. Now, what is the reason of tumah? Why is tumah an exemption of the first Pesach? Because of eating, not because of doing, because he could bring his korban Pesach, he could have someone else bring it in, it's just because he won't be able to eat in the evening, that's why he's exempt. And moreover, from the fact that the Torah says tamei nefesh, that person is exempt from the first Pesach, it doesn't say balkeri or someone that's tumah sheretz. Obviously, from there you see that the exemption is only something that's called tumah arucha, which is for more than one day that he'll be able to eat it in the evening. Because there, in other words, for someone that's a tamei nefesh, he's going to be tumah for 7 days. He won't be able to even eat it in the evening. Therefore, we see that the criteria of tumah is not shashchita; it's the eating of it, because that's the reason why he's exempt. Because bringing it, he can have someone else bring it. So therefore, it's not a contradiction, because each one has its own halachic criteria. Regarding derech rechayka, it depends on doing it, which is you have to get in time for the shechita. When I say tamei lenefesh, that there he can bring it, tamei sheretz could bring it in the evening, because the whole exemption of a tamei is only because he can't eat it, which is what tamei lenefesh is. He won't be able to eat it because he's tamei for a whole 7 days. He won't be fit that evening with harav shemesh. And that's why there it depends on just eating. So therefore, tamei sheretz, he would be able to, even he won't be able to make it the b'shar shechita. Continue at top of Tzadid Alam and Aleph, the Rabbi Yehuda like Kasher, according to view, that's also not difficult. Because although you're right, he said it depends on being able to be fit to eat it in that evening. So then you ask the question, Tamei Sheretz, what do you do with Tamei Sheretz? Where he's also going to be fit to eat it that evening. Rachmana Dachir. No, that's not true, because the Torah explicitly pushes him away and says he's exempt. Except like it says the passing about Midbar, says, Ish Kiyir Tomele Nefesh. If any person will be unfit, he'll be richly impure because he touched a corpse. Now, it just says stam. It doesn't tell you when this person, what one of the 7 days of Tamei Nefesh that he's in. Milo Eskinan, so this is what Rabbi Yehuda holds. Isn't it, obviously, the pasuk could be talking about, Shechal Shvi'isha Lilis Be'erev Pesach. That it could be that when it's on Erev Pesach, that he's Tamei Nefesh, it could be it's even on his 7th day. And that is because, as Rashi even says, that as we had said in the previous parak on the Tzadim and Beis, that there is a mandama that actually says that the source of this halacha of Tmei Mes being exempt were those individuals in the times of the Midbar, that it was their 7th day that fell out on Erev Pesach. And Vafilahochim Rechmana Litcha, and yet in spite of that, although that type of a person, which is the equivalent of what a Tamei L'Sheretz is, a Tamei Mes on the 7th day who is going to be fit that evening after Harav Shemesh, is the same as a Tamei Sheretz who's Tamei just for 1 day and will be Tahar in Harav Shemesh, and although they'll be fit to eat, and yes, although the criteria generally is being able to be fit to eat at night, which is how he explains V'derech Rechayka. Over here, the Torah explicitly tells you that Tamei Nefesh, even though he'll be fit to eat tonight, and that's again the same thing of what a Tamei L'Sheretz is going to be pushed off, and that's essentially like what a Gezeiras HaKasuv is. So that's why it's not difficult, either according to Rabbi Yehuda.